This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. We want to connect with you. We're always live on social media at eRadio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our guests at podcastarena.com. And you bet the countdown is on for March Madness, and we've got you covered over the next 2 hours. Big 12, ACC, SEC, and we also will take time for some NBA news and notes here in Hour 1. Mitch Lawrence is going to drop by from Sirius XM NBA Radio, but we're going to open things up on this Saturday with some NFL, and of course the NFL Combine has been underway. And my producer, he's going to weigh in on that, and that is Sean Mapes. And, you know, I just have to wonder, each and every year, I mean, what do you think about the NFL Combine? Is there some value to this?
Yeah, so there's value for the scouts and evaluators, just getting the measurements, knowing there's no funny business going on with the colleges, making a guy an inch taller than he is or something, to make sure they get the weights, right? And then mostly, I think the biggest value of the Combine is getting all the GMs, all the scouts all in one place, going to steakhouses, hanging out, talking to each other, rubbing elbows. And that's really where the moves that get made in the next couple weeks, they mostly start here in Indianapolis.
So is there any particular prospect that we should keep our eye on?
So Malik Willis, the quarterback out of Liberty, is a guy who looks like he has the potential to be the guy who rises up the draft boards, who in September we didn't think he was going to be a first rounder. Now he's going to be going top 10, top 5 in a pretty weak quarterback class. He's the closest thing to Lamar Jackson since Lamar Jackson's come out a couple years ago. So Malik Willis, he's a little short, but he can run, make plays with his legs.
Do you think the NFL Combine, though, is a true indicator of the kind of success that will translate to the next level?
So it's more of an eliminator, where if you don't meet certain thresholds for your position, there's a very small chance that you have success in the NFL. So if you're a wide receiver but you run a slow 40, chances are you're not going to be that good, and you're also short. It's not really going to add up to success. So it's more of an eliminator. You know, how big are your hands if you're a wide receiver or quarterback? How long are your arms if you're a lineman? It's those kind of things, more than he ran really fast, that means he's really good. It's more he ran really slow, so are we sure he's going to be good?
Good stuff, Sean. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome in on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We would love to hear from you. Chime in on the conversation. We are always live on social media at eRadio Sports. Info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. We make it so easy. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our guests and download our app. Take us anywhere 24/7, and that is Sports Map Radio. We've got a huge show coming your way here in Hour 1, a ton of college basketball talk. And right now, we're going to pack our bags. We're going to head out to the SEC and zero in on the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee is ranked 13th in the country when you talk about their men's basketball program. Today, the regular season play will conclude, and the SEC tourney will get underway next week in Tampa, Florida. We are super excited to have with us for the very first time from USA Today. He's the managing editor for Vols Wire, and that is Dan Harrelson. How are you, Dan? Good to have you with us.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. It's that time of the calendar year where we have turned to March. So, of course, the regular season is wrapping up. One more game to play for Tennessee's sake and a lot of other teams. That Tennessee will play Arkansas at home and then head to the SEC tournament in Tampa before Selection Sunday, and we get the March Madness back again, so it should be fun.
Of course, Selection Sunday is the March the 13th, and a little bit later in our hour, we're going to be talking about the Big 12 Conference. I'm curious about the SEC and its depth. I mean, how many teams do you think potentially can advance to the Big Dance?
Well, that's a good question. Auburn right now is 14-3. They're number one in the SEC going into the last day of competition for the regular season Saturday. this Saturday today. So I've been Arkansas 13-4, right behind the Tigers, and Kentucky's 13-4, Tennessee's 13-4. So those four teams are got the double bye in the SEC tournament in Tampa. Those four teams will already, in my mind, already punched their ticket, so they're going to do well. I think Alabama at 9-8 in the conference. They have a win over Houston at home earlier in the season, a couple other big wins here and there. So they're kind of on the bubble. I think Alabama should get in. Seems like Florida at 9-8, the similar SEC record going to that last game. Teams like South Carolina, 9-8 also, I don't think they'll get in. So I think four guaranteed for the SEC. I think Alabama probably sneaks in there at 9-8. We'll see what they can do on that last game.
So the SEC, I mean, it's regarded as a football conference. What's the perception of this league when you talk about specifically men's basketball?
Well, years back, I guess Mike Slive, when they had maybe like two teams that make it to the NCAA tournament, his goal was to make basketball better. And when he was still the SEC commissioner, he encouraged schools to go out and get the best coaches that were available. And that's what's happened. And it's just kind of steamrolled into good basketball programs. You add that on top of the SEC network, and it's really taken off. You look at Tennessee, Rick Barnes, who did a really good job at Texas all those years. He's doing a similar type job with Tennessee, continues to recruit very, very well, make the tournament. I know he still hasn't gone back to the Final Four or anything like that, but he always has Tennessee in that conversation. And you look at programs like Alabama, that they've done pretty well. Also, especially now with Nate Oates, and Auburn's done the same with Bruce Pearl, Musselman of Arkansas. Florida's won a couple of national championships in the 2000s, and it seems like they're always competitive, and Kentucky's Kentucky. So, yeah, it's a really good league. I mean, you look at Frank Martin at South Carolina. They were in a Final Four a couple of years ago. LSU went out and got Will Wade. He's been competitive. I think he's won the conference in the regular season already. A&M got Buzz from Virginia Tech, and then Mississippi State, that they went out and got a guy that went to three straight Final Fours at UCLA, and Ben Howland. So I think when Mike Slive had a vision for basketball, when things weren't going that great, and it really wasn't that long ago, I think it just kind of steamrolled, and the SEC Network has helped out to give more door-to-door coverage from the 12 noon hour Eastern time until 8, 9 o'clock at night on Saturdays and any other days.
Hey, yeah, great way to kick off hour one here at Sports Map Radio Network from USA Today. He is the managing editor for the Vols Wire. Also, he's got a podcast, Football Two-A-Days, and give him a follow on Twitter at Dan Harrelson. And so, you know, you talk about the head coach for Tennessee, Coach Rick Barnes, and of course, we remember the time him being here in the Big 12 Conference at the University of Texas. How did the Longhorns allow him to get away? I mean, he has done a remarkable job, and let's not forget, just beat two top five teams. You guys are taking care of business.
Right. I think when Texas actually beat Tennessee a few weeks back, I guess it's been about a month now, in Austin, it was 52-51, really good game, close, competitive game. I think I saw a stat where Texas has not won an NCAA tournament game since they had Rick Barnes as head coach. So it's kind of like when Philip Fulmer was the head coach for Tennessee in football. He was very competitive, but he couldn't get back to that next notch. Like for Rick Barnes to say, get back to the Final Four. And it kind of grows still a little bit with the fan base.
Well, head coach Rick Barnes also made a bold statement that he believes that his Volunteers are national championship contenders. What say you, Dan?
Well, I've told people this the last few weeks, and we've seen this team really go from, and Texas Tech just really killed Tennessee in Madison Square Garden early on in the season. And Rick Barnes was kind of open after that game and a couple other games that, you know, we got to find our start rotation, just guys off the bench that want to come in a good rotation. So credit to Rick Barnes. He's had guys to work with, and he's kind of figured out his starting five, guys off the bench. He's kind of mixed and matched for various games for personnel reasons against the competition. But credit to him for getting it done. And he's got a six-year guy, John Fulkerson, who's a heck of a player, a big guy down low. And he kind of, during that stretch, said, well, if he doesn't want to get things right, then he may want to step away. So he's kind of put his foot down on a few things, but they're playing very, very well. And they're a type of team, and I go back to Rick Barnes' past. Yeah, he could be a first-round exit like he was last year against Oregon State, maybe a second-round Sweet 16. But he's also got the potential, the way they're playing and the talent they have and some of the depth they've created, where they could easily get to Elite Eight, Final Four, and who knows once you get to that point. So, yeah, I agree with Rick Barnes on that stance that could be a first-round exit, could be a Final Four, who knows, a national championship game. You really don't know what to expect out of Tennessee, but they will be competitive.
That's right. Anything can happen in March Madness. Our special guest this morning, great way to kick off Hour 1, and that is Dan Harrelson. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Dan Harrelson, USA Today, Managing Editor for Vols Wire. And also, he's got a podcast, Football Two-A-Days, and this is a really special time of year. Just quickly, give us a quick hit. Baseball's going on right here in Houston at Minute Maid Park.
Right. Should be fun. A lot of good teams. Texas is number one. Tennessee's undefeated coming into that Texas game. And, you know, Tony Vitello, as I mentioned, he's created a real good program at Tennessee. He spent a lot of time at Missouri and Arkansas before he became the head coach with the Vols. Should be great to see Tennessee and Texas, especially years to come, if you think about it, with Texas coming into the conference at some point. Always a great baseball program, and they played in the World Series last year, and now we get to see them again this year. So pretty neat to see them play pretty much on an annual basis now before they officially join the conference. But Tony, he's done a great job recruiting, and Chase Burns, a really good pitcher. He'll get the nod first against the Longhorns, and then Baylor, that second game they'll play at Minute Maid Park, and then Sunday cap it off with the Oklahoma Sooners.
USA Today, Dan Harrelson, been our special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. You take care. We got a lot more to get into next time you're on the program. We got to talk about your head football coach, and that, of course, is Josh Heupel, a little Boomer Sooner there.
And that's right.
That's right. We'll talk real soon. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Coming up next, NBA News and Notes with Mitch Lawrence from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. It is Hour 1, and we want to connect with our audience. We are always live on social media at eRadio Sports. You can email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Take us anywhere, anytime. So easy. Just download our app 24/7, Sports Map Radio. And you bet it is always time. I'm excited to talk some NBA and thrilled to have back with us from SiriusXM NBA Radio. You can also tune him in on Mad Dog Radio Network. And that is Mitch Lawrence. Good morning, Mitch.
Hey, Alyssa, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I'm always looking forward to the weekend, and what a great way to power up on our Saturday. And so let's talk some NBA, and we're going to pack up and head out west and zero in on the Los Angeles Lakers. So what say you? I mean, can LeBron turn around this incredibly disappointing season? Can he turn it around?
That's a big question. You know, I mean, it's going to have to be LeBron because you can't count on Anthony Davis. He's always hurt. As you know, he's out now. And you can't really count on Russell Westbrook. That whole trade has been a disaster. So who else are you going to count on? Malik Monk? No, it really starts with LeBron James. And, you know, it's interesting. Over the All-Star weekend, he was making a lot of noises about Cleveland and, you know, leaving the door open maybe to go back to the Cavs in the future and talking about how, well, Cavaliers have more than two All-Stars. They have, you know, Jared Allen and Garland, but they also have me. And I think he and Rich Paul got called in on Jeannie Buss's carpet to probably explain themselves and maybe, you know, to say, hey, guys, you know, you put us in this predicament. First of all, we'd like to, you know, have you show us some loyalty. You're still a Laker. You're still in purple and gold. And by the way, LeBron, you had a major hand in reconfiguring this roster. So it's just a mess. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people around the NBA, as you know, who love nothing more than to having the Lakers in total disarray. And that's really where we are heading down the stretch of the season.
So what is the biggest issue that they must address in order to salvage this season?
Well, to salvage the season, that for them, that only means making the play-in, because I don't think they're in any position to get into the playoffs right away.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, if they fall, I don't know if they're going to fall below 10th. I think that's a long shot to me. I think they'll make the play-in. They would have to not only win their play-in, you know, rounds, but they'd have to get back to where they were last year and get to the first round. And, you know, once they're in the first round, to me, they're, you know, LeBron is looking at only the second time in his life where he's going to lose in the first round. Of course, last year was the first time, and he was compromised with the results or the effects of an injury. And, of course, they lost. You know, Anthony Davis was just, you know, awful because he had that groin injury. So this season, I don't even know if it's salvageable because, you know, when you're with the Lakers, it's all about winning titles, and they're certainly not going to do that. So you have to be thinking about what can they do in the off season to get this thing fixed, and that's going to take a lot of work.
You know, I just wonder, Mitch, I mean, what were your expectations coming into the year when we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers? And, you know, I just think about all the Laker fans. I mean, they're a very passionate fan base, and they certainly have had to endure a lot of pain and a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, well, my expectations coming in was I didn't really like the Westbrook move. I thought, okay, you know, maybe going home will help, but, you know, that's a lot of times doesn't exactly work out for guys. And I didn't think he'd be a really good fit, so I didn't know how that would work or if it even could work. And it's turned out to be just one of these deals which hasn't worked, and he's been just bad. And like there are reports now that he's looking to move on, which doesn't surprise me. But, you know, the other thing you always worry about with the Lakers is the Anthony Davis is a very fragile player. He's not reliable, as he's shown over the years. He gets hurt a lot, so he misses a lot of games. And then the other concern, obviously, is, you know, you look at a guy like LeBron James, who's going to, you know, he turned 37, he's in his 19th year. Those are the type of ages and numbers that we see where guys aren't that effective, not nearly as effective as they were in their primes. And we're talking about the all-time players like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and other guys like, you know, Stockton, Malone, whoever's played that long. It turns out there have been points where LeBron looks tremendous, looks like he can still carry a team, but not nearly like he used to. There are other points where he's still susceptible, more and more looks like, to injury and the fact that he just can't dominate like we once did. And that's just, you know, a product of father time. That's a product of, you know, he's got a lot of usage. There's a lot of tread that's come off that tire in the 19 years. So I didn't have big expectations. I thought, you know what, they'll probably be in the hunt for a play-in, obviously, because you can never put it past LeBron. And if somehow he and Anthony Davis could play a full season together, who knows, maybe they could finish, you know, sixth or seventh. I wasn't holding out a lot of hope. But here we are, and nothing really as they had planned has turned out.
SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mad Dog Radio as well. Mitch Lawrence, give him a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence. And you talk about a lot of, you know, wear and tear on LeBron, his 19 years. I mean, so what, I mean, what does your gut tell you as far as, like, what does the future hold for him? And you think he's going to be moving on, you know, past L.A. This summer? Is this the last year for LeBron and the Lakers?
Well, I guess he came out after he had a talk to Jeannie Buss about his what he was doing in Cleveland, and he said, you know, I'm going to be in purple and gold for forever, whatever he said. You know, you just take now as a kind of a grain of salt. Listen, it wouldn't surprise me if he did ask to out in the offseason and he wound up in some place like, I don't know if Cleveland is an option in terms of what they're doing, but I look at a team like Minnesota where A-Rod is now a part owner, and I'm thinking, boy, that would be something for Alex Rodriguez. He's probably sitting there thinking, you know what, my young team needs a LeBron James to teach him how to win, and maybe we should trade D'Angelo Russell back to the Lakers. I think they want to keep Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards because those are their two key guys. But can't you see that, Alyssa? A guy like A-Rod, you know, trying to make a splash and, you know, being all, hey, we got LeBron James coming in here to teach our guys how to win. So who knows? But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if LeBron did move on. I don't know, you know, the Lakers, obviously, they've got, you know, the problem is he's probably got more value than anybody else. How are you going to trade Anthony Davis with his history of injuries now? And Russell Westbrook, boy, he's got low value now. So if you're rebuilding, if you're the Lakers, you might say to yourself, hey, this is the time. Let's cash in. Let's try to get something decent back for LeBron, a young, promising player, maybe an all-star, who knows. Young, you know, picks, et cetera, because he's the guy who could get you more than those other players.
Okay, so speaking of low value, what does the future hold for Russell Westbrook? He's moving on.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, he's now moving on. Every year he's moving on, right? Whether it was, you know, Oklahoma City, Houston, Washington, the Lakers. And the play this year, wow, it's just been dreadful. It's like he can't make shots. And he and LeBron and these guys are now the Laker fans, if you noticed, are getting, you know, the guys who are sitting close to the court are starting to get on these guys. And instead of turning a deaf ear, they're all rabbit ears and they're going back at the fans, which is really a bad sign. But in terms of Russell Westbrook, I have no idea who would, you know, he makes $47 million next year. And I know it would obviously be an expiring contract for somebody for down the road. I just don't know of a team that right now is looking to bring in a Russell Westbrook. Early in the year, I thought, you know what, the Knicks don't show a lot of fight. I could see maybe James Dolan, who could say, all right, we'll bring in Russell Westbrook for the next year or two. That'll help us get some seats. That'll keep the celebrities on the front row. He'll come and he'll play hard all the time. But you know what? I don't know. Never say never when it comes to the Knicks, but I just don't even know about that great possibility for Russell Westbrook.
SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network. And when we specifically talk about Russell Westbrook, what happened? What has changed? Why the big drop-off?
Well, you know, last year he was very good at the end of the season for Washington, helping them get into the playoffs, if you remember. But he's like a long way from that. But, you know, over the years, you've seen, you know, bad shot selection. He's a bad shooter. The turnovers. We all love the fact, I think everybody loves the fact, and, you know, you get tired of hearing this, but, boy, nobody plays harder. And he's always, you know, pedal to the metal. And it's great that he plays with such ferocity all the time. But that also comes back to bite him sometimes with turnovers. So, yeah, he's gone. He's come downhill a long way from the year that he, you know, averaged the triple-double, the MVP year in Oklahoma City. He's just now a player who makes max money, but is a high-mistake player, not a very good shooter. And you just wonder, like, you know, where is he going from here?
So what kind of coach or system would help him be successful again?
That's a great question, I'll tell you. I don't know. I mean, that's a really tough question. You know, here's the thing. It's like with LeBron. He needs the ball in his hands. So any team that wants to take Russell Westbrook on has to make the conscious decision that we are going to, you know, he's going to be our guy and he's going to have the ball in his hands more than anybody else. And that's what you have to put up with, his turnovers, the bad shot selection, the wild shots. I mean, who wants to sign on for that now? So I think it's a tough fit all the way around. I really do.
Okay, so let's talk about one of his former teammates, and that is James Harden. He has a new home. What do you think about him playing with the 76ers, and how excited should we be about his start this week?
Well, Daryl Morey, you know, had James Harden for years in Houston and thinks the world of James Harden. He once said that James Harden is, you know, a better offensive player than Michael Jordan. We have all rolled our eyes at that comment, but that's his view. That's his view of James Harden. So he has to be just absolutely thrilled. This is the guy he wanted all along. Mm-hmm. He's been in hot pursuit of James Harden. You know, that he tried to get him when the Nets got James Harden, tried to make a trade for him with Houston after Morey moved up from the Rockets to Philadelphia to run that front office. So it has, you know, you couldn't ask for a better start. My big thing with James Harden is, he can't screw it up for Joel Embiid, right? I mean, he's got to go into Philadelphia. Joel Embiid is on a path to his first MVP, and the last thing James Harden needs to do is all of a sudden derail that. So he's got to be careful. He's got to play at his best, which he has so far. You know, he's aggressive. He gets the ball to Embiid. He gets the ball, other teammates involved. This is a guy who I thought would, you know, transition out of Brooklyn, where he obviously didn't want to be. I guess he had, you know, on the surface it looked like he just had a lot of problems. More with Kyrie Irving not playing all the time because of the vaccine deal. More problems with that than playing with Kevin Durant. But he has this is a new lease on life. The one thing I'll say is, you know, Joel Embiid this year has played a ton of games for him. He's on a pace to play about 66, 67 games, which you look at him and go, big deal, Mitch. You know what? That means he's out 15 or 16 games. Yeah, well, if he plays 66, 67 games, that would be a career high in an 82-game season. And you just wonder with his history, can he continue that down the road? And also, speaking of a guy who's had a lot of, you know, usage and the ball in his hands a lot over the years, a lot of minutes, that's James Harden. You just wonder how open is that window for them? Is it just 1 or 2 years? Is it 3 years? To me, it's like if they don't win this year, next year, that's when it can be, even with James Harden, you never know. He could become disillusioned even before that. But you get my drift. They got to start winning big right now this year in a conference that, you know, still has Milwaukee as the defending champs.
Yep.
Brooklyn gets their act together, they're going to be pretty good. You got Miami. So, yeah, it's going to be a tall order for Philadelphia still, even with James Harden.
That's right. And, of course, Kevin Durant is back. SiriusXM NBA Radio. We love when he's back. Also, check him out on Mad Dog Radio and give him a follow on Twitter at Mitch_Lawrence. And, Mitch, always a true pleasure to catch up. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday.
Alyssa, always love coming on. Take care.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And the men's regular season, it is winding down. We're going to zero in on the Big 12 Conference and talk some college basketball. The Big 12 Conference Tournament will get underway next week at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. And so excited to have back with us from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, and that is James Hale. And James, you know, typically when you're on the program, we're talking college football and recruiting, but what do you look forward to the most when March Madness rolls around?
Well, I think March Madness is one of the greatest events we have, first of all. It's always great to be on with you. Thank you for having me back. Oh, I appreciate it. Again, it's always disappointing we don't get to do television because I don't get to see your pretty face.
Oh,
but your producer is the luckiest guy on the planet, so he gets to see you. So anyway, March Madness is something we always look forward to, right? I know people still take off to watch, you know, if they can't get it at work, or if they're at work and they're blessed and they get to have a television, you know, people will watch, and it's kind of a two-day work break a little bit as the tournament gets underway. They've expanded it, the play-in games. I even watch those because there's great competition. Those teams aren't going to win, or they're usually not. UCLA did, but usually you don't have play-in games where a team is going to be able to march through the tournament. So that's why UCLA was so fascinating last year. And, and it's fun to hear about some new players. And if you've got an NBA team like we have in Oklahoma with the Thunder, you start hearing about players and you start thinking, okay, how could they fit in with the Thunder and things like that. But it's fascinating. You can literally, you know, get you a bowl of popcorn and sit back and watch and enjoy it. And it's even better if your team's in it. And even though you don't have a team in it, that's very good. For instance, Oklahoma is fighting to get back on the bubble. They went through a losing streak where they lost 7 of 8 after a great non-conference schedule. But they've won 2 in a row now. If they can win at Kansas State on Saturday, and Kansas State beat them in Norman, you know, but if they can beat Kansas State on Saturday, because OU seems to be playing better, they can get back on that tournament bubble because they have 8 quad one wins. Now, Oklahoma will go to the Big 12 tournament, and they have a first-round bye, and you can debate whether that's a good thing or not. Did they need 2 quality wins, or did they need 2 wins? Because any win in the Big 12 Conference is looked at in a pretty favorable light. So, this is a great thing. I think the NCAA tournament's special. The conference tournaments are special. And I'll be watching with great earnest, especially with the Thunder fighting to try to get the highest draft pick they can get.
Yeah.
And they're spoiling Sam Presti's plan because, uh-huh, you know, they beat Denver last night. And, you know, so they're kind of screwing that over. So, you know, I think the Thunder is going to be no better than the fourth pick in the draft. And, you know, you can do the percentages better than me, maybe, how that's going to go. But I love the NCAA tournament. I still think it's one of the greatest things we have in sports.
He is the host of Total Sports Oklahoma City, CBS Sports Radio Network. And here you are, James. You're in the heart of the Big 12 Conference. You cover these teams very, very closely. And I just have to wonder, I mean, so many of my guests that have been on my program just talked about the strength, the depth of the Big 12 Conference. Could it potentially land 9 teams in the big dance?
No, it's not going to do that many. Kansas State's not going to go in. West Virginia's not going to go in. The Sooners, because they have played so well in the non-conference, I mean, you know, they've beaten Florida, they've beaten Arkansas, they've beaten teams that are going to be in it, that they have a chance because of their strength of schedule. It would be a weird seeding, I know. But until the Sooners, you know, finished out that losing streak, they were still in the tournament, according to Joe Lunardi and some others, because of their quad-wide wins. And Porter Mosier, their head coach, is a very delightful guy for us to deal with. He's energetic, he's cool, he always lets us know what's going on. And, he knew that we had a pretty good chance, that his team had a pretty good chance, I should say, of getting in if they could win. Well, they haven't won enough games. So now, you know, they're not quite back on that 4 looking in. But again, if they beat Kansas State, they might be going into the Big 12 tournament. So that will be interesting. So the Cowboys aren't going because they're getting screwed over by the NCAA, and I'm sure you've talked about that. I mean, the Cowboys, a couple of years ago had a coach that had with no attachment to the team whatsoever. In other words, the head coach, Mike Boynton, didn't know anything about it. None of the players that was involved came to OU, had that deal with Adidas, where he received money trying to orchestrate a player to go to a certain, trying to come to OU, but he didn't come to OU. I mean, to Oklahoma State. And yet the NCAA punished them, and they haven't punished Kansas and some others that have been directly involved with them. We all think this is a screw job by the NCAA, that it's a lousy thing that they've done. And but Oklahoma State, in every appeal, they've been turned down, and it's a travesty in the NCAA. So they don't get to go. So you have nine teams that are going, and Oklahoma State wouldn't be going anyway. So Oklahoma State, Kansas State, West Virginia, they're not in the tournament. So Oklahoma is fighting to get in it. Iowa State, tragic. God, Iowa State played so bad last night against Oklahoma State. And Iowa State has looked bad at times. They lost bad at home at Norman. Then they looked great in Ames against Oklahoma. So they're kind of a weird team, and they're 7-10 in the conference. They're 20-10 overall, but they're in the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any doubt. So I only think six teams are in right now, and maybe Oklahoma can sneak in if they can win a game in the Big 12. They have to beat Kansas State on Saturday, coming up today.
Yeah, perhaps six teams will advance. And you just think a year ago, I mean, the Baylor Bears, they won it all. They won the national championship and defeated Gonzaga. But, you know, James, you've covered...
Baylor's good again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what has changed within the Big 12 Conference? How have they been able to establish themselves as perhaps the toughest conference in the nation? What changed?
Well, they've always had good coaching in the Big 12. I've always thought that, right? You know, so I've always think the coaching was pretty good. When you take a program like Baylor that brings in a household name in college football to lead its program and Drew and some of the things that they were doing, and then they, you know, put together this incredible recruiting, situation last year. Getting two players that were taken in the first round in the NBA draft. Billy Tubbs used to tell me, the great Billy Tubbs, God rest his soul.
Oh, yeah.
Used to say, James, you need three first round draft choice to have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. Well, you know, he's pretty much been right. And Baylor had, because they have a couple of guys this year that are expected to be high draft choices. And so you had three or four guys on that team last year that were NBA talents, and that's what it takes. Kansas always has NBA talents, right? So, you know, Kansas is another team that's right there. And I think, and Phil Self, and even though I question what he did with Adidas and things like that, he's been able to, they haven't been able to touch him on that yet. So, and Kansas continues to be a really, really good program. You know, a team like Oklahoma doesn't have a legitimate score. They don't have an NBA talent, and that's why they're in the problem that they're in. And, 20 seconds left. They need a last shot. They need a three-pointer to win. Who's going to take it? Well, you think Mo Gibson, but he's not really a pure-blood three-point shooter. Elijah Harkless has taken a couple of those. Jordan Goldwire, who came to OU, transferred from Duke, and he is a better offensive player than he was at Duke. He's very SGA-ish, the great guard for the Thunder, who nobody can keep from the rim. Well, Jordan's pretty similar. Not as tall, but he's a similar player, a little stronger, and can always get to the rim. But, you look at all these teams. Is Texas as talented as they have been? I don't know. Maybe. I love Jones, and his story's great. And, TCU has had some big wins, and I like their sophomore guard, the shooting guard that they have, and Iowa State, we've already talked about. But I don't know if the Big 12 is great. I know Baylor's ranked third, right? Kansas is ranked sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So Baylor's going to be a number one seed. Kansas could be a number one seed. But I look at other teams like Gonzaga and Arizona and some of these other teams, and I think they're better. But again, the way that the Big 12 plays defense will travel. And maybe they can surprise. And again, it's a one-on-one game when you get into it, right, E? And, maybe Baylor can pull it off or Kansas can pull it off. Don't sleep on Texas Tech. I think they can make a run in the tournament because, again, they're so great defensively.
It is Saturday morning. James Hale, he is back with us, host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio Network. Let's pause. James, connect with our audience. Where can they find you online and listen to you and also subscribe to Patreon?
Well, just Google James Hale, Patreon.com. And if you're a Sooner fan, or if you just like recruiting and if you like college sports, it's easy to do. You make a small donation, $5 gets you in, and, you know, you can donate whatever you want to your monthly, you know, thing. And, you know, and so it's a really good deal. Just Google James Hale, diehard Sooner Report.
Hey, we're hooping it up. We're talking about the Big 12 Conference, and it's so interesting. I mean, throughout the years, it has been recognized as a football conference. But do you think it receives enough respect and national acclaim like the ACC, or let's date ourselves, James, going back to the original Big East, right?
Yeah, yeah, no. Well, those were fun days, man.
Absolutely.
John Thompson and Louis Carnegie, you know, and you know, all the people that were there. I mean, it was that was fascinating back then. In the Big 12, you know, the Big 12. Yeah, I think it does get the acclaim from the nation and things like that. And I think it has for a while. Sometimes it's the ACC that gets more of a play, and, you know, sometimes it's the, you know, well, it's never really the SEC, even though the SEC plays pretty good basketball. You know, but the Big 12, you know, with, you know, Baylor winning last year and Kansas doing what they've done, they've won national titles before. You know, Texas Tech making their national championship run, and, you know, and Oklahoma's had, you know, a Final Four team recently under Lon Kruger. And so, yeah, I think the Big 12 does get, and it should. I mean, the Big 12 has good players. I mean, at Oklahoma alone, how good's Trae Young?
Yeah.
How good has been Blake Griffin?
Yeah.
How good is Buddy Buckets? We'd all like their, you know, we'd all like to have their income, right? I mean, they're all making big bucks. They're all greatly successful. And I'm not even talking about the great Alvin Adams, Wayman Tisdale, the greatest player in OU history. You know, there's been so many players that have come just from Oklahoma alone, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Stacey King?
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, Mookie Blaylock, you know, that team went to the Final Four, and went to the championship game, and tragically lost to Kansas because, without question, they were the best team that year. But the Blue Blood won, and Danny Manning and the Miracles were able to win that, and that was pretty cool. If you're a basketball purist, you're a Sooner fan, every time I bring it up, my stomach churns, and I hate it, and, you know, you get sick for a while, and, you know, and it still hurts you, man, so... The last time I had Billy Tubbs on my show, we talked about that. He goes, James, you always want to bring it up. I said, I don't want to always bring it up, but I can't believe we lost. He goes, neither can I. He goes, I didn't coach that game right. He said, you know, I should have just kept the pedal to the metal. We should have just kept running and gunning. And he goes, I don't think they could have hung with us. It's the greatest first half in NCAA basketball, he said, and it was. It was 50-50. I mean, you know, so, again, so I think the Big 12 has had great moments in NCAA basketball. And I think it's looked at as a highly competitive conference because that's exactly what it is. It is a really good basketball coaches. They recruit well. They're liable to get the number one, two, or three player in the country every year. Somebody will. It's usually Kansas or, you know, Texas. But, you know, they'll always have good players. And I like Porter Moser coming into the conference. And he admits maybe it's taken him back a little bit how good the conference is. And he says they're adjusting as they're going along. Right now, you may be playing their best basketball.
The college basketball conversation continues with the host from Total Sports and CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale, after this quick timeout.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, we are wrapping up our time. James Hale back with us, CBS Sports Radio Network. And I was hoping that we would have a little bit more time to take a deep dive on the Sooner women's basketball team. And just what an amazing job Jenny Baranchik has done there, what ranked 19th in the nation. And just a few hours away, they're going to tip this afternoon at the Lloyd Noble Center against the Jayhawks.
Well, the Jayhawks are playing pretty good. Well, it's kind of shocking how good they are. You know, but Oklahoma State, you know, Oklahoma State pushed the Sooners on
Wednesday night.
Yeah. And you know, and OU didn't play very well. You know, Jenny Baranchik has brought a free flowing style of offense, and the players race down and they spread out, they take quick shots, they're really good shooters, and they can score in bunches. But sometimes it can become a little helter skelter and you can run into some problems. But They were good enough to still beat Oklahoma State 79-76. They're 23-6, 12-5, and right now they're hosting an NCAA tournament as a fourth seed. They need to beat Kansas today. Kansas has shocked everybody how good they are. Oklahoma won earlier in Lawrence, and so they need to, you know, get it done here. And Taylor Robinson, you have a unique player, and that she's the best shooter in Big 12 history, OU history, and I think she's the best shooter in college basketball during her era. Whether she's going to end up the greatest shooter of all time, I don't know. She's got another year to play. But she's a 95-96% free throw shooter. And she's a 45-46% three-point shooter.
Wow.
She's not very athletic, and she struggles to get open sometimes. Every team will face guard her, but she's learning. She's getting better at getting open. Jenny's come up with a really good offense to sometimes get her free. She's extended her line back. And so this team has two players that might play in the WNBA that are really, really good. And in Anna Lanusa, who tore ACL, who will be back next year, she's going to appeal to come back next year. Oh, you had three players that were good enough to play pro basketball. And when you have that, you have some other good athletes, and they have, you know, and Jenny creates this positive, wide-open style of play. And, you know, she praises the other team, and she loves basketball. And she was a great player, you know, when she played basketball. So, you know, Oklahoma's pretty good, and I think it will be interesting. They can play a bad game. When they've lost decisively. They don't have a great inside post defense.
Yep.
So they need you to come out of retirement, throw those elbows, and give them five fouls, see? And so I told them about you.
Oh, you
and
did?
So
okay.
They're going to come and talk to you before it's all said and done.
Hey,
you
we
got a few days to get in shape.
Okay, yeah, no pressure. Hey, we always love talking some college basketball with CBS Sports Radio Network. He is the legendary radio host, longtime reporter covering Oklahoma and the Big 12 Conference. Subscribe to Patreon.com.